guys, today I'm going to read chapter 6, How Orpheus the Minstrel Went Down to the World of the Dead. Many were the minstrels who, in the early days, went through the world telling to men the stories of the gods, telling of their wars and their births. Of all these minstrels, none were so famous as Orpheus, who had gone with the Argonauts. None could tell truer things about the gods, for he himself was half divine. But a great grief came to Orpheus, a grief that stopped his singing and playing upon his lyre. His young wife, Eurydice, was taken from him. One day, walking in the garden, she was bitten on the heel by a serpent, and straight away she went down to the world of the dead. The evening in this world was dark and bitter for the minstrel Orpheus. Sleep would not come to him, for him food had no taste. Then Orpheus said, "I will do what no mortal has ever done before. I will do which even immortals might shrink from doing. I will go down to the world of the dead, and I will bring back to the living and the light of my bride Eurydice." When Orpheus went on his way to the valley of Arcasia, which goes down into the world of the dead, he would never have found his way to that valley in the trees that had shown him the way. For as he went along, Orpheus played upon his lyre and sang, and the trees heard his song and were moved by his grief, and their arms and heads, they showed him the way to the deep valley of Arcasia. Down by the winding paths, through the deepest and most shadowy of all valleys, Orpheus went. He came at last to the great gate that opens upon the world of the dead. The silent guards who keep watch there were there, for the rulers of the dead were frightened when they saw a living being, and they would not let Orpheus approach the gate. But the minstrel, knowing the reason for their fear, said, "I am not Heracles, come again to drag up from the world of the dead your three-headed dog Cerberus. I am Orpheus, and all that my hands can do is to make music upon my lyre." And then he took the lyre in his hands and played upon it. As he played, the silent watchers gathered upon him, leaving the gate unguarded. And as he played, the rulers of the dead came forth, Adonis and Persephone, and listened to the words of the living. "The cause of my coming through the dark and fearful ways," sang Orpheus, "is to strive to gain a fairer fate for Eurydice, my bride. All that is above must come down to you at last, O rulers of the most lasting world. But before her time has Eurydice been brought here, I have desired to strength to endure her loss, but I cannot endure it. And I come before you, Adonis and Persephone, brought here by love." Then Orpheus said the name of love. Persephone, the queen of the dead, bowed her young head, and the bearded Adonis, the king, bowed his head also. Persephone remembered how Demeter, her mother, had sought her all through the world, and she remembered to touch the mother's tears upon her face. And Adonis remembered how his love Persephone had led him to carry her away from the valley in the upper world, where she had been gathering flowers. He and Persephone bowed their heads and stood aside, and Orpheus went through the gates that came amongst the dead. Still upon his lyre he played. Tantalus, who, for his crimes, had been condemned to stand up to his neck in the water, and yet never be able to assuage his thirst. Tantalus heard for a while, did not strive to put his lips toward the water that ever flowed away from him. Sisyphus, who had been condemned to roll up a hill of stone that ever rolled back. Sisyphus heard the music that Orpheus played, and for a while he sat still upon the stone. And even those dread ones who bring the dead the memories of their crimes and all their faults, even Anudis had their cheeks wet with tears. The throng of the newly came dead Orpheus saw Eurydice. She looked upon her husband, but she had not the power to come near him. But slowly she came when Adonis called her. Then with joy Orpheus took her hand. It would be granted then, no mortal ever gained such privilege before, to leave both together, the world of the dead, and to abide for another space in the world of the living. The one condition where there would be that on their way up through the valley of Arcasia, neither Orpheus nor Eurydice should look back. They went through the gate and came amongst the waters that are around the portals. These showed them the path that went up through the valley of Arcadia. That's way they went, Orpheus and Eurydice, he going before her. Up and up through the darkened ways they went, Orpheus knowing that Eurydice was behind him, but never looking back upon her. But as he went, his heart was filled with things to tell, how the trees were blossoming in the garden she had left, how the water was sparkling in the fountain, how the doors of the house stood open, and how they, sitting together, would watch the sunlight in the laurel bushes. All these things were in his heart to tell her who came behind him, silent and unseen. And now they were nearing the place where the valley of Arcadia opened on the world of the living. Orpheus looked on the blue sky. A white-winged bird flew by. Orpheus turned around and cried, "Oh, Eurydice, look upon the world that I have won you back to." He turned to say this to her. He saw her with her long dark hair and pale face. He held out his hands to clasp her, but in that instant she slid back into the depths of the valley, and all he heard spoken was a single word, "Farewell." Long had it taken Eurydice to climb so far, but in that moment it was turning around and she had fallen back to her place among the dead. Down through the valley of Arcadia, Orpheus went again. Again he came before the watchers of the gate, but now he was not looked at or listened to, and hopeless, he had to return to the world of the living. The birds were his friends now, the trees and the stones. The birds flew around him and mourned with him. The trees and the stones often followed him, moved by the music of his lyre. But a savage band slew Orpheus and threw his severed head and his lyre into the river of Abaris. It was said by the poets that while they floated in midstream, the lyre gave out some mournful notes, and the head of Orpheus answered the notes with song. And now that he was no longer to be counted with the living. Orpheus went down to the world of the dead, not going now by that steep descent to the valley of Arcadia, but going down straight away. The silent watchers let him pass, and he went amongst the dead and saw his Eurydice in the throng. Again they were together, Orpheus and Eurydice, and as they went through the place that King Aedoneus ruled over, they had no fear of looking back one upon the other. So that was chapter 6. Bye guys, see you later. See you later, see you later, see ya later. Bye guys.